Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, this is part two of our series, Right and Wrong Ways of Deal Structuring. And so on our last episode, we went over, first of all, Jeff had an apprentice by the name of Joe who wrote some creative financing offers or some term offers to a seller who had a couple duplexes that he's selling. And we kind of went over in that episode where were the places that he went wrong in his offers. And just to kind of recap a couple of them, the shorter the term, the higher the price was, and the down payment was, like nothing. Like it was like $3,000.
Range from $3,000 to $10,000.
Yeah, so it was very, very low down payment. So there's not much incentive to really sell on terms as a seller, anyway. And then he gave up too much of the cash flow that the property produced in monthly payments to the seller that he offered. Is that correct, Jeff?
Yeah, and I think even the bigger problem was that when you figure out how much money the seller is going to gross, we had a 3-year, we had a 6-year, and we had a 10-year. There was only $35,000 difference between the 3-year and the 10-year. If you figure that out, that's 7 years to get $35,000. That's about $5,000 a year.
Yeah.
That's probably not going to entice a seller to
stay in it longer term.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I think that,
especially when the shorter term was the highest purchase price.
By a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and this is very common. So Joe's a very smart guy. Joe is not an apprentice for me anymore. Joe is a full-time real estate investor. But he's still learning how to make all the pieces fit together.
Yeah.
Which is something that, you know, super hard. I know if you're listening, you're like, ooh, you know, how do I do all this? What you do is you practice.
Yeah.
So, and now I hope that we can help you kind of get a better idea. And I'm going to show you what I did, and then we can kind of compare the two.
Okay. And Joe, if you're listening, we're not picking on you. we're using this as a learning opportunity to teach our audience. And I'm sure you've learned kind of the same thing by just working with Jeff. So thank you, actually.
Yeah. So one of the things that I think that what we did is, when I talked to Joe, I think that we discussed, where do you need to be monthly payment-wise where it would still make sense for you? Because I don't remember what the actual cash flow would be. So I think we decided around that $1,350 mark. That's what we could offer the seller, and it would still make sense cash flow-wise.
Okay.
So that's kind of a, you always want to have that number. Yep. What is the most I can offer the seller where either there's enough money cash flow wise for me to buy the property or for another investor so I can wholesale the property?
Right.
Because if you give away all the money, there's no cash flow.
And there's no sense in holding it.
There really isn't. So, and then you have to decide how much makes sense. The way I look at it is I want to know how much money is going to be out of pocket. So the down payment, any kind of repairs that need to be done. And then let's say we're making a $300 a month cash flow. I would take 300 times 12, that's for the full year, 3,600. divided by how much money I now have in the property. That will give me my cash on cash return. When I'm looking at holding, I may have a certain cash on cash return criteria. Or if I'm wholesaling, I usually want to be 12% or higher.
Right.
And that will change throughout markets, throughout the country.
Yeah.
So it's a good idea to understand what would your buyers feel like is a good deal for them.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, I know people that buy at 7% cash on cash, but that's probably not a wholesale deal that's going to be sold in, you know, a week or two and
right.
close quickly.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to accomplish. And if maybe this was a buy and hold for you, maybe your criteria is like, hey, as long as I can get 8% or 10%, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you need to figure that out for yourself if you're the one holding this.
But
for sure. So what cash on cash return are you looking for?
But really what the goal is once we work backwards and we take out all the fixed expenses, we now know what our pro forma rents are. So what we could potentially increase the rents to. We want to know what is the monthly payment that will probably kind of be around that will still make sense for us or our buyer.
Okay? Uh-huh.
So in this case, I believe that we identified $1,350 was a point where it still made sense for him to buy.
Okay? Uh-huh.
So if you remember in the three examples that he did, two of them were over $1,350. So one was $1,372. So my guess is that wouldn't change anything drastically.
Uh-huh.
But one was $1,450, and that could have had a significant change in, you know, how that all worked, how the cash flow would work.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Another $100 a month.
Dwindles it down pretty low.
So let's talk about what I offered. So I believe that this property, I think the seller was asking like $260.
Okay.
And it's probably worth, my guess, $260 to $270, $275. So pretty close to market value, if I remember correctly. So I came up, just as Joe did, three options. And I think I did the same. Yeah, I did a 3-year, a 6-year, and a 10-year. Okay. And so I'll go through each one. And then as we go through each one, let's compare it to what Joe did. And then I'll explain to you why I did what I did.
Perfect.
Okay. So the first one is $268,000 purchase price.
Okay.
$3,000 down. And that's not me making that offer. That's what Joe wanted to make. So, and maybe Joe knew something that, you know, but that's what Joe was comfortable in putting up. Okay.
Yeah.
A monthly payment of $1,350. Now remember, taxes are included in the monthly payment. So the seller will receive another about $105 per property.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Interest rate was 2.5%, simple interest, 36 month. So some of it's very similar to what Joe set up. This is my first option. This was his third option.
Okay.
A balloon payment for, at the time of payoff, $235,202. So really quickly, because I don't want to confuse everyone, but you'll be like, how did he get to that number? So let me just quickly run you through how I came to that. So if you have $268,000 purchase price and you're offering a $3,000 down payment, you have a $265,000 principal balance. So you enter $265,000 as your present value in your calculator.
$265,000.
Okay. We're offering 2.5% interest. Why 2.5?
That's your magic formula.
That's because that's what I chose. Okay. So you could do 2.5, 3, 3.75.
You can do 20.
You could, but it won't work.
I know.
Okay, so you enter 2.5% as your interest rate.
Okay.
Okay, and here's where it changes from normal calculations when you're amortizing a loan. This is not an amortized loan. So we offered the seller a 36-month term, okay? Three-year balloon. We're going to enter in 36 for N. Okay, normally we would enter in 360 for 30 years. We're not doing that. You would then normally just solve for payment. We're not doing that either. I pick this payment because this is the payment that
works for Joe.
Works for Joe and is significantly higher because I want this principal to pay down quickly. Because remember, we only have a three-year term. That's why I'm usually able to offer a higher price using this.
Because the principal pay down.
Correct.
Because
if I can't get both,
yeah.
If I can't get the number to work where it makes sense cash flow and the principal pay down, this option isn't very good.
Right.
So let's enter in 1350 negative. You always enter in payments negative into your calculator. So I've actually entered in four variables. N, which was the 36-month term.
Uh-huh.
Interest rate, which is 2.5. Present value, which is $265,000. And then the payment, negative $1,350. And now we're solving for the fifth variable, which is future value. And we come up with $235,202. That now is the balloon payment.
Okay.
So here's what I want to point out to you. Jonathan, if you have a $265,000 loan, okay, and you're paying $1,350 a month, let's say it was a conventional mortgage, how much, just a total guess from you, how much do you think that would pay down in 3 years?
Oh, man, like $4,000.
Not much, right?
I don't know.
Let's say seven, okay?
Okay.
But that would be about the most.
Yeah, because
here we're starting at 265, and in 3 years, we're down to 235.
Yeah.
We literally cut that principal down by $30,000 in 3 years.
Okay.
So that's the whole point of this particular option, is that you can offer a good price because a lot of the monthly payment is going toward the principal. So the reason that I like this is sellers can do it and be out of it in 3 years. They still get, and I'll tell you in just 1 second, but they got a good price for their property, and they get some interest on top of it.
Yeah.
Okay? And if you don't understand that, don't worry. I invented this. Don't worry if you don't understand it. And certainly don't say, well, Jeff said you could just pick any number you want.
Okay.
Okay? Seller will gross, okay? And the way that you figure out the gross is you take that $1,350 a month payment, and you times it by the amount of payments that the seller is going to receive.
36 months.
Times 36, plus the down payment.
Right.
That's the money they receive, plus the balloon payment.
Right.
So they're getting $286,802. So in reality, they're getting about almost $19,000 in interest over the 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And if you think about this, if you're paying $1,350 a month for 36 months, that's $48,600, okay? Mm-hmm. And total payments that you've paid. If you then minus, that they're getting about $19,000 in interest, there's $29,600 going towards what?
Principal.
Correct. So that's kind of how it works.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, and that's why the pay down is so significant, because you're able to throw a lot more against the principal.
So it's like a hybrid between a zero interest loan and an amortized loan. And the reason that I like it is people typically don't like to see no interest.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't get a lot of pushback with the 2.5. Sometimes I do, but I'm offering them a good price.
Yeah.
And they're getting interest on top of it.
Yeah.
And it's a short term.
And it works for you because the principal pay down is so much over that short
term. That's
right.
So I can structure it so when the balloon is up, that now, even if you offered retail or even above, that what you want is when your balloon comes due, that, hey, what you have to refinance now makes sense.
So are you just kind of picking your principal and then adding that interest on top of that principal? Is that what you do in that offer?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Are you picking a fixed principal amount that say the
monthly payment?
Yeah.
Yes.
So are you like, I want $1,000 to go to principal every month, and then I'm going to add?
No.
Okay.
So what I'm doing is, in this case, what I did is I asked Joe, what's the most, or what's the amount that you're comfortable with paying each month on each of these units? When I'm figuring it out myself, I'm going to look at rents, what potential rents could be. And I'm also going to just take, so let's say that he was asking $260,000 for this property, the seller. So I'm going to say, all right, if I was to give you $10,000 or $15,000 down, which is, you know, somewhere in that 5 to 6, 7% range, I'm going to just figure out based on, hey, over 30-year amortization at 4 to 4.5% interest, what would be the monthly payment right now? And the 4 or 4.5 is around, maybe a little low, maybe a little high, around what market interest rates are right now.
Right.
So between the rents and what the payment would be normally on, you know, just a conventional type interest rate, that gives me kind of my range where I want to be. If it's income property, then I want to make sure that I can get the cash flow after all my expenses, including what potentially I could raise rents to, that's going to make sense for me.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So that's how I figure this out. And so normally I would have made this offer different because I wouldn't have offered $3,000 down. Now, I understand why he is,
right,
but I personally wouldn't, because my goal usually is I want the balloon payment to be right around 80% loan to value.
Yeah.
So that, hey, whatever I've put down already, I can just refinance, or my buyer can just refinance.
At the end
now,
of that,
granted, yeah, he only put down $3,000, so, you know, would it be all right if he had to come to the table potentially with some money to get it refinanced? Probably. But
yeah,
I would have structured it a little differently, but we're doing this for him based on, you know, what he's trying to accomplish.
Right.
Okay? So that's the first one. Okay? Let's move on to the second one. Okay, this one's a little more standard. So remember, I offered 268.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm offering 262.
Okay.
And that's about what Joe offered as well. He offered 265.
Okay.
Okay, $7,000 down payment. He offered 5.
Okay.
Okay, it's 4%, and I amortized it over 25 years. And the reason that I did that is, so when we're trying to get that payment to a certain amount, so we know we want to stay around that 1350. We don't really want to go above 1350.
Okay.
So what can we do? Well, we can modify the price, we can modify the down payment, or we can modify
the term.
Either the interest rate
or the term. Yeah.
Okay. So my guess is, if when I figured this out, it would be 262 minus 7,000. That's the down payment. That's 255,000. And we did 4% interest over 30 years. The payment is 1217. So if you're okay making that 1217 payment, great. You could just leave it alone. However, my guess is that we wanted to be kind of competitive. So we just brought down the amortization of it to 25 years. Now, what that means is we cut 5 years off the loan term.
Right.
Okay. So we made it for 72 months. So it's very similar to what Joe did. He did a 20% or 20-year amortization. I did 25. His purchase price was slightly higher, and my down payment is slightly higher. So kind of similar. Okay. Now we figured out the balloon. That's $214,714. Okay. But here's where we differ. Actually, we don't differ a whole lot on this one. The seller will gross $318,554. With Joe, they gross $322,000. So they grossed a little more with Joe's offer.
Okay.
Okay? So that's two of them. So the second one is kind of similar. The first one, much different. Now let's talk about the third one. And then I want to show you why these are probably going to work better than what he did. Okay? The third one is for $272,000. Okay, that's our highest offer yet. Okay, it's only like $4,000 more than our first option, but it's still higher.
Uh-huh.
And I could have gone higher than that with $10,000 down. So here's the difference right now is that I'm offering the $10,000 on the one with the longest term, not the shortest term.
Right, okay? Yeah.
The monthly payment is $1,327, so we just take $272 minus the $10,000. $262,000 is our principal balance. I picked 4.5%. How did I come up with that?
It's close.
I'm just playing numbers. I'm putting in 4%, 4.25%, 4.5%.
To see how you can make that payment work.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right? The term is 120 months. Now, I wanted the seller to see that he was getting 4.5%.
Mm-hmm.
That 4.5% is not bad.
Right.
And because I want him to consider taking my 10-year offer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm offering him the most amount for price. I'm offering the most amount down. I'm offering the most amount interest. Not necessarily the highest payment, but they're all close.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're doing it for 10 years. The balloon payment is $209,834.
Okay.
Okay? And that's how I structured them. But now, do you remember when I told you I was confused because we had the three-year with the highest price and we had the grosses were all kind of too close.
Uh-huh.
So let me show you where we are with the gross on these, okay?
Okay.
So on the first one, which is the hybrid simple interest one, 3 years, okay, the seller will gross $286,802, okay? On the one that
Joe wrote,
so it's kind of hard to figure out, but the seller would gross $307,000, okay? Mm-hmm. On this one, $286,000, but it's 3 years, and it's they're making almost $19,000 in interest over 3 years.
Okay.
Okay. The second one, which is a six-year term, the seller will gross $318,554. So it is about a difference of $31,000-$32,000 for 3 years. So remember, Joe's deals were only like $5,000 more a year for each year that the seller went.
Yeah.
This is considerably more.
Right.
Okay. Now let's look at third option, which is 10 years. Seller will gross $379,000. That is a difference of about $60,000 to stay in it for four more years. Than the 6 year, or to stay in it for, instead of the 3 year, to stay in it for 10 would be it's about $93,000 difference. So now there's a reason why.
Yeah, to stay in it longer.
Correct.
Yeah, significant reason.
Right. So, what the goal really here, the goal is to accomplish here is that, one, we're trying to structure something that we think will work for the seller.
Okay? Yes.
So we picked that monthly payment and we tried to structure stuff around that. the price, the interest rate, the down, those are all variables that we can kind of play with.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't make sense to say, here, I'm going to offer you $3,000 down, and then here's another option where I'll just offer you five. Okay? There's not a big enough difference if that's the only difference there is.
Right.
Okay? Hey, if I'm going to ask you to carry it longer, let me make it worth more your while. I'm either going to offer you more money as a purchase price or a higher interest rate or some reason why you would want to stay in it longer. Because otherwise, they don't want to.
Yeah.
You know, if it's worth, hey, I can just, this is my investment, I can just forget it, I continue to make money every single month, it's feasible.
Right.
Okay. So I hope that wasn't too confusing. Probably was.
Yeah.
I tried to kind of go through some numbers so you could play around with some, but the real goal is that you're trying to create offers that are different enough. So here's what, really quick. So I offered $268. I think that's above market value and a short term. Now the interest rate's really low, the down payment's really low, but you could be in it and out of it and you get paid $286,802 for 3 years.
Yeah.
There's a reason why I get that offer accepted more than any other one. Because it's short term,
they get a good price,
and they're in it and out of it.
Yeah. Okay?
Second one, $262. So it's actually slightly less, which almost makes no sense. But it's only slightly less, and we're going to pay them a higher interest rate, and it's not going to pay down as quickly. So they're going to make more money by staying in it. And to be honest, I think that this offer is probably the weakest out of them all, but kind of falls in between the two as far as term. Maybe it's like, 10 years is too long, but I do like getting more money for, you know, staying in it a little longer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the third one, which is, hey, I'm going to pay even a higher price. Could I have even gone higher?
Yeah,
I certainly could have.
Yeah,
I could have offered him another $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000, and I think I'd be fine.
I just
want to make sure that my payment stays within the range because now I'm going to be in it at that payment for 10 years.
Yes.
So the interest rate's good. It's amortized over 30 years, but here's the number I want this seller to see: you're going to make almost $380,000 for your $260,000 property that, you know, if you just stay in it, and who knows, maybe his loan will be paid off by then and he's now collecting all the money.
Right, right. Awesome. Well, guys, I will put these offers in the show notes. So if it is confusing to you guys, I would go, it
certainly will be.
Yes. Go to our website at www.thecreativefinancingpodcast.com, and under the episode, these will be in the show notes. So you can look at them, you can compare them, and maybe you can even listen to the episode as we go through them, and you can see each one as we're talking about them. That will help you guys significantly to understand the comparisons that we're making here. But a couple of takeaways for me, Jeff, is that the monthly payment is crucial. That's the key piece of that's the key piece that you have to fit all the other puzzle pieces around.
If you are trying to create cash flow,
yes,
it absolutely is.
Right, right. And in that scenario, that's what we're trying to do, is create some kind of cash flow, because Joe is looking to buy it as a buy and hold.
Correct. And if you were trying to wholesale it, cash flow matters too.
Yeah, exactly. If you're trying to wholesale it again to another investor, cash flow matters. So that monthly payment is crucial. And the other things are the variables, like you talked about, the down payment, the term, the interest rate. Purchase price. Those are the variables, but the payment has to work to get that cash-on-cash return.
Did you notice where my payments were on my offers?
They were all right around that three.
They were all right around that.
Same, yeah. Yeah, just I mean, they were within $30 of each
other.
Now,
if this property was free and clear, we wouldn't have necessarily had to do that.
Right.
But because there's debt, and to be honest, really what I would have done is instead of making the same offer on both properties, I probably would have had slightly different offers because there was slightly different debt.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know that they may be worth exactly the same amount, but maybe I can offer one for this and one for that. I may have done something like that. But yes, when you have that, that's why it's so important to know what's owed on a property, what that monthly payment is, because it kind of dictates what you can and can't do.
And there has to be a spread there.
Yeah. Well, I have one that I'll go over at some point in the near future on our show that we just did that's very creative because, but we'll go into it. But it's something that I structured it a little differently. And that's the only way I think you could have.
Interesting. Cool. Okay, guys. Well, I hope you've enjoyed these episodes. If you have any questions about these episodes or any episodes we've done, or you want to leave us a comment, or you're interested in working with Jeff in his apprenticeship program, give us a call. Our hotline is 877-409-8090, 877-409-8090. And again, you can reach us on the web at thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. And until next time, guys, create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.